Church. Yeah, we're on. There we go. Merry Christmas. I hope you guys enjoyed it. That was fun. It was fun to do something a little different. These guys, let me just say to them, all the vocals and the band and all, they worked hard on it. And we're not professionals, but the Bible says that we make a joyful noise, and we do our best to make a joyful noise. Amen? I want to do one quick thing real quick, and she's going to kill me, but where's Rihanna? Come on up here. Hurry, run, quick. I want to introduce you to one of the U.S. Army's newest private first class. She just got back. She's not been back since June, so if you would give her a big hand. I didn't tell her I was going to do this, but I wanted to tell her in front of everybody, in front of you guys, that we're extremely proud of you. And we are extremely even more proud to call you one of ours.
Thank you.
All right? All right. I'm proud of you. Well, if you're visiting this morning, we normally do turn the lights on, I promise. It's normally not this dark. We're trying to make it a little special this morning. If you're watching online again, welcome. I feel like this morning, I said last week, and I told you you're here last week to use all means necessary to get friends and family here, not because it's Christmas, but because I've truly been praying that this would be a day that eternities are changed. You know, I said last week that those of you who, for Christmas this year, and especially this time of the year, may be feeling a little bit hopeless. Like, this is never going to end. Yeah, they say they got a vaccine now, but is it going to work? How long is it going to take? You know, is the economy, what's it going to do? Am I going to keep my job? If I'm going to get my job back? That we're sitting in this place of hopelessness. But my prayer is that today you find the hope and the joy that God promises us. Some of you feel like you're just barely going to make it through 2020. My prayer today is that you find not just hope, but abundant hope. You know, there's a prophet in the Old Testament. His name's Jeremiah. And Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. He cried a lot. He actually cried so much, he wrote a book in the Old Testament called Lamentations. And in Lamentations, he begins to lament and kind of whine to God, but lament people, lament the things that are going on in his own lives. It would be like us saying, you know, looking back at 2020, the tragedies of life. But he also looked back at the people. He looked back at the people of God who were turning away from God, and that God kept telling the people through Jeremiah, hey, they need to get their act together. It's not going to be good for them if they keep doing what they're doing. But he says something in this verse as he's in chapter 3. And he says this. He says, the thought of my suffering and my homelessness is bitter beyond words. In other words, I'm remembering how terrible it was. I feel it. And it makes me where I can't even communicate to anybody because it just hits me so hard. In the next verse, he says, I will never forget this awful time as I grieve over my loss. See, Jeremiah had lost friends and family too. We lost jobs and all the stuff that went on in 2020. Students that lost senior experiences. And Jeremiah says, I'm going to grieve over this. This morning, this Christmas, over the next few minutes, this is my prayer. Despite what you see going on around you, despite what the news media tells you, despite what social media tells you, despite 2020, you can still dare to have hope. Look what he says. Yet after all of that, I still dare to have hope. And I didn't give you the end of the verse. I don't want you to see it yet. When I remember this. In other words, he's got something that allows him to have hope, even though his year or the things he's thinking about in life have gone to the pot. That despite 2020, you can still dare to have hope. But look what he goes on next to say. He says, the faithful love of the Lord never, what? Never ends. It never ceases. His grace, in verse 23, great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh. I always thought that was a funny word, afresh. I guess it's a real word. It's in the Bible. It must be a real word. But it's new every morning. And here, Jeremiah is saying, even though it was, I can still dare to have hope. It's the same thing I've been asked at funerals before. When a saint goes home to be with Jesus, and people from the outside come in, maybe not saved, just to come pay their respects, and they're like, how can you be happy? Your grandfather, your grandmother, your child, you, whoever it is dead. How dare you dishonor their memory? And my response is, oh, no. If we could trade places, I'd rather be there than here. You don't understand what, I said, the hope they have, we just dare to have. Because we know what our assurance is. Some of you are in this spot this morning, your day to day. This morning, you need to know that your hope's not only come, but even when you have a bad day, a bad night, no matter the place or the situation in which you now find yourself, God built you to need his hope. It's part of you. Even if you're listening this morning online or in the room and you say, Clint, I don't really know that there is a God. I'm just here because the person beside me wouldn't shut up, so I just came to make them be quiet. My daughter, my sister, my brother, my mom, my dad just kept badgering me, so I'm just here so they'll have a Merry Christmas. But I don't know if I believe all this God stuff because most of you are hypocrites anyway. I get that, but God still built you to need his hope, not only for his need of salvation, because he gives us salvation, but to live every day. Look what the Bible says in Proverbs 13. It says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. This is what happens after letdown. Have you ever seen that letdown? And maybe if you have kids and you tell them, hey, we're going to go do this or we're going to get this. And then you go and tell them, sorry. And the look in their face. See, we do that internally. And the Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick. Well, how are we going to keep the heart from getting sick? You need something to fix it. You need something to change it. This is why 2020 has been such a hard year. Remember, let's go back in a year in review. Come February, March. Oh, this thing's coming, it'll go. And this is not a political statement, so don't even go there. Nobody knew where it was going. It's going to come, it's going to go. March, April, May, June. They told us the same thing. Yay, we can go back to normal. No, we can't. Yay, in the fall, we'll go back to normal. No, we can't. Yay, they're going to play football, but you can't go. Right? We're going to go back to school, but you got to wear a mask. We're going to do this, all this up and down and up, and that's hope deferred. See, he built within us this longing to get back to him because he knew we would need a hope that wouldn't change. He knew we would need something more than just somebody telling us what tomorrow's going to bring. And I include me in that. You need more than just somebody on. And it's sometimes a pastor's job to give you rah, rah, cheer, cheer, go, go, go. You need more than that because my cheering you on is only going to take you so far. See, there's this part of us that looks to him to try to get back to him. It's that gift that he gave us, the hope we celebrate, Christmas. And God had to give us a way to have the hope because on our own, we're in trouble. Paul writes this in Ephesians 12 in the New Testament. He says, in those days, you're living apart from Christ. You were excluded. In other words, you didn't know God yet. Without God and without what? Hope. See, you can't have hope. What you think you have without God is not really hope. It's the world's version of just soothing our emotions. But God says without him, there's no hope. You see, the problem is we chase hope. We run after it. We only have two choices in life. First, you can anchor yourself to real hope, godly hope, that doesn't shift or change, or unfortunately, what the second people do, they chase hope. And it may be a drug, it may be a person, it may be running from God, it may, you know, hugging a tree. I don't know. There's people that do crazy stuff that make themselves feel better, but it's phony, and they chase it. And here's how you find out if you have real hope. Because here's the truth. Truth is, hope chases us. Let that sit for a minute. Hope chases us because it was given to us. The Bible says that he sent Jesus to me. I didn't have to run it down. The Bible says that God is right behind me all of my life going, hey, turn around, hey, turn around, hey, turn around. It's him chasing me. It was given to us. Hebrews chapter 6 says this, is so God gave us both a promise and his oath. And these things can't change because God can't tell you a lie. He says, therefore, those of us who had fled to him for refuge have great confidence. We hold to the what? The hope. And where is the hope? He's put it out there in front of you. Verse 19 says, this hope is strong and trustworthy. Here's what I love about hope. It's an anchor for your soul. It's an anchor for those emotions that we feel that God gave us. It's built, it's hung on him and not on your neighbor or your friend or somebody else who's treated you badly or hurt you or wounded you. And look what it does. The Bible says it leads us and gives us this hope. That's a confident expectation based on something solid. The only thing that is, that there's nothing more solid. Because hope is not something you do. You don't chase hope. You don't do hope. We say, I am hopeful. But the reason you are hopeful is because God gave you hope. Otherwise, it's just empty. Hope is not something you do. Hope is something we have. It's a gift. It was given to us. It's something you possess. I actually believe this. And I'm not going to go deep spiritual, but I believe this to be, I know this is true. And some of you can attest to this. I believe it's tangible. And you've probably experienced it and just not known it. You've probably, and I hope maybe you've, even today, there's a moment, like all the stuff we do is fun. The lights moving and we added some extra stuff and shot in a little extra haze this morning. And it's, we want it to look good. We want it to be nice. But the truth of the matter is, that's not what gave you the tingly feeling. Megan or Shay or Gina or Melanie's perfect note, as good as they were, it's not what gave you that feeling of wow. Even during the special, I can't really see all of you, but I saw like people start standing up. The music is not what's making them stand up. What's making them stand up is that hope showed up, and it's tangible. Have you ever walked into, and you don't really now because you can't let you in the hospital, but as a pastor, I've gone into a lot of hospital rooms, and you walk in some, and it just feels like a nasty blanket, a heavy weight, just weight in the room. What is that? That's because there's no hope. But you walk into a room, and even with a terminal diagnosis to a man or a woman who knows where they're going and knows they're saved, and you walk in the room, and they're laughing and smiling and having a good time. Why is that? Because they have hope. They have hope. God doesn't promise you a perfect life, but he certainly does promise us hope that is anchored in him. The Bible says this in Matthew 21, the mere sound of his name will signal hope, even to who? Even to those who don't know him. They start sensing this. I need to go over there. It brings me peace for some reason. It brings me hope. Since hope is, though, something we have, if there's anything you remember today, remember this. Hope has a name. Hope has a name. It's not a thing. It's not just a descriptor, an adjective. The Bible says hope has a name. Look at Matthew 1. This is a Christmas story. This is talking about the angel talking to Joseph, telling him what's going to happen to his soon-to-be wife. And she's going to have a son, and you're going to name him Jesus. And he's going to do what? He's going to do something for you you can't do for yourself right now. He's going to give you a way to have hope. The only hope. Well, Clint, how do you know this is the only hope? Glad you asked. Let me tell you. Look at this in Acts chapter 4. there is salvation in who? Okay, let's try this again. I know the lights are out. Some of you had coffee. Help me out here. There's salvation in... Is there any ambiguity in this? The answer is no. It's not a trick question. No. And see, truth is, we try to give people hope, saying, well, it'll be okay if you just do well, do right. Yes, we want you to do right. Don't break laws. Don't hurt people. Don't steal the candy from the candy. Those things are wrong. But doing right is not a person. It doesn't get you anywhere. The Bible says there's no other way under heaven by which we must be saved. See, hope has a name. And God said, I'm going to send you hope, and we're going to name him Jesus. You're going to call him Messiah. You're going to laugh at him, but he's coming to do something that only he can do. No matter how hard you try, no matter how good you feel, there's one way under that you can be saved, one way under heaven, no other name. See, you need to know this too. I didn't even include this in your notes. Hope has power. Hope has power. Jesus showed up to do something we can't do. I don't care what God gave us medical science, but there comes a time when medical science doesn't work. Hope has power. I've seen hope in Jesus show up and people who had no other option but God to intervene, perfectly whole and healed. Can I explain it? No. I'm not even trying to explain it. But the Bible says for you note takers in John 20, 31, that the Son of God, that when you believe in him, you may have life and you get the power of his name. Remember, hope has a name. The Bible says of Jesus' name even that every demon in hell will flee at the mention of his name. Why? Because they know the name has power. But for 2020, you need to know this too. Hope is faithful. It's not going anywhere. He's not bailing on us. He's not going to move the goalpost. Okay, now I got you this far, but it was one name. We're going to add all these other steps in. The Bible says that with that one name, and if you look in Hebrews 10, it says that you can go right into God. As a father, I love this scripture. My girls, let me just say this. I live in a house with all females. And I mean all females. A wife, two daughters, 9 chickens, and a dog. All females. There's no testosterone in my house. My girls, and I've even said this before, when I need to go to the hamper to go find some underwear, I've even asked the girls, have you seen my panties? Because that's all over here. My girls say, hey, your panties are boring. Like, because we don't wear panties, we wear underwear. Right? See, I love this scripture because my girls in my house, even though sometimes you wish, can I just go to the bathroom without somebody knocking? I know my wife does this all day. You know, I shouldn't have to lock my own door to go to the bathroom. But my girls know that any moment during the night, something comes at them, something comes after them, something that scares them. Or when I walk in the door, they started this when they were little and they still do it now. Thinking about it this week, I just really kind of realized that Emma's been doing it for 18 years. Mabel's soon to be 12 next month. As soon as they could walk and move, I'd open the door and my girls would come. They didn't have to give a password. They didn't have to do anything. They didn't have to lay anything at my feet. They didn't have to stroke my ego. But the Bible says because of Jesus that you can walk right in and go have a chat with God. My girls aren't have to be qualified. They are in the family. Hope is faithful. You get to go right into it. Look what it says in verse 23. Without wavering. Without wavering what? To the hope that we affirm. Well, how is the hope affirmed? Because it has a name. and it was real, and it had arms and legs and suffered on the cross. Hope has a name, that God can be trusted because he's, and it's his promise. And my girls know that. We should know that and know that about God. The Bible says in Romans 8, he says that I'm convinced, this is Paul writing to the Roman church, he says, I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. As a father, I know that. Now, there's times when I want to send them to somebody else's house, or we want to, like, y'all need to go somewhere else. I love you, but, you know, leave. And there may come a time, you know, when your child's like 30, 31, 32, y'all need to get out. I love you, but leave, right? But Bible says that nothing's ever going to separate me and you, you and God. Look what it says in verse 39. Nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate the love of God revealed in who? The Savior we celebrate, hope. Nothing's ever going to separate us. Nothing in all creation. And with that, you need to know this. For those of you who, maybe you're on the fence, maybe you're one here today, maybe you're watching online and you're sitting with mom, dad, brother, sister, family, the neighbor that wouldn't leave you alone, and you honestly came just to go, listen, I love you, and I'm going to go. I'll even stand, and I might even clap my hands because, man, that band, they're just, man, they're good. Ooh, that girl can sing. We said this morning that we didn't sing this morning. We sang with an A. It was mainly Shay, but so I was giving her a hard time this morning. So why people can't sing? Why people sing? So our black brothers and sisters, they sang. And I was giving her a hard time. Anyway, so you may have just said, great, it's great music. Ooh, cool, look, lights move, and lights, it's not traditional church. I like the atmosphere, but I just don't know about this God thing. He never shows up in my life. He's never there when I need him. Maybe you've been serving God for a long time, and you think, God, I was all 2020, like Melanie said. I did the same thing. 2020 is going to be this great year, and I had all these plans, these things we were going to do for the church. We had a flood. We were shut down for 12 weeks. I preached to a camera, a little dot, for 12 weeks. It's terrible. I hate it. Not what I thought. And I'm thinking, God, where are you? You're not here. Where are you? And you may be thinking that now as we're heading into Christmas. But I'm going to leave you with this, and this is truth, and you can take this to the bank. It's all through your Bible, and I will give you 101 scriptures to prove it. Today I'm just going to give you one. But you need to know hope is here now. Right now. He's here. He's not waiting on us to go, okay, God, I think I'm ready. I mean, a minute he's going to bow your head and we'll pray and close your eyes and we'll be ready. Then hope will show up. Then Jesus will show up. See, that's not true. Let me just tell you right now, the knock you feel, the inside of you, is not just you trying to get out of here. That's hope knocking. And my prayer is this morning that you just open the door. Because this is what the Bible says about Jesus when he showed up. For there is born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. He's here now. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? For those who say, okay, I get it, he's here, but it's just complicated. No, it's not. It's not. I'm not asking you to change a thing. I'm not asking you to break a habit. I'm not asking you to even break off a relationship. Bring everything you have, and right where you sit, the Bible says, if you just do this, if you say, God, you sent Jesus, pay for my sin, forgive me, I receive that hope now. The Bible says your eternity is changed. If that's you right now, it's a simple prayer. I'm not going to call you up front. All I'm going to ask you to do is pray the prayer. Take a card in front of you. mark it and drop it in the back. We just want to send you something to say, hey, this is what you can do next. Here's how you take your next step, your one step. It's just praying something simple like this. You can even pray it to yourself right now. I'll feed it to you. You just say, Lord, I receive Jesus now. Forgive me of my sin. God, you're my Savior. And I'm not going to worship you just once a year. I'm going to worship you every day. God, help me. Show me the way. In Jesus' name. Everybody say, amen.